This episode of the OrthoBullets podcast will go over the topic of Galeazzi fractures from the trauma section on orthobullets.com. A Galeazzi fracture is defined as a distal one-third radial shaft fracture and associated distal radial ulnar joint or DRUJ injury. As far as the incidence of DRUJ instability, if the radial fracture is less than 7.5 centimeters from the articular surface, then it is unstable in 55% of cases. If the radial fracture is greater than 7.5 centimeters from the articular surface, then it is unstable in 6% of cases. As far as the mechanism of Galeazzi fractures, it's either from direct wrist trauma, typically in the dorsolateral aspect, or from a fall onto an outstretched hand with the forearm in pronation. Now let's go over some relevant anatomy, specifically the DRUJ. The sigmoid notch is found along the ulnar border of the distal radius and is a shallow concavity for the articulating ulnar head. With respect to the volar and dorsal radial ulnar ligaments, they function as the primary stabilizers of the DRUJ. Again, the volar and dorsal radial ulnar ligaments function as the primary stabilizers of the DRUJ. And keep in mind that the DRUJ is most stable in supination. Moving on to the classification of Galeazzi fractures, the one to know is the OTA classification of the radius slash ulna, and this is divided into four types: 22A2.3, 22A3.3, 22B2.3, and 22B3.3. In a 22A2.3, this involves the radius slash ulna, is diaphyseal, and is a simple fracture of the radius with dislocation of the DRUJ. A 22A3.3 also involves the radius slash ulna, is diaphyseal, and is a simple fracture of both bones that is in the distal zone of the radius with dislocation of the DRUJ. A 22B2.3 also involves the radius slash ulna, is diaphyseal, and is a wedge fracture of the radius with dislocation of the DRUJ. And finally, a 22B3.3 also involves the radius slash ulna, is diaphyseal, and is a wedge of both bones with dislocation of the DRUJ. As far as the presentation of Galeazzi fractures, these patients typically have symptoms of pain, swelling, and deformity. On physical exam, there's point tenderness over the fracture site, and as far as range of motion, make sure to test forearm supination and pronation for instability. Finally, a DRUJ stress causes wrist or midline forearm pain. As far as imaging, recommended views on radiographs include an AP and lateral views of the forearm, elbow, and wrist. As far as findings, signs of DRUJ injury include an ulnar styloid fracture, widening of the joint on the AP view, dorsal or volar displacement on the lateral view, and or radial shortening that is greater than or equal to 5 millimeters. Treatment of Galeazzi fractures is always operative, and this involves ORIF of the radius with reduction and stabilization of the DRUJ. Indications include all cases as anatomic reduction of the DRUJ is required. Acute operative treatment is far superior to late reconstruction. Again, acute operative treatment is far superior to late reconstruction. As far as surgical techniques, as far as ORIF of the radius, the approach is a Volar-Henry approach to the radius. As far as plate fixation, perform anatomic plate fixation of the radial shaft, and the radial bow must be restored/maintained. As far as reduction and stabilization of the DRUJ, the approach is a dorsal capsulotomy. As far as the reduction technique, you can immobilize in supination for 6 weeks, and this is indicated if the DRUJ is stable following ORIF of the radius. Percutaneous pin fixation is indicated if the DRUJ is reducible but unstable following ORIF of the radius. In this case, make sure to cross-pin the ulna to the radius and leave pins in place for 4 to 6 weeks. As far as open surgical reduction, this is indicated if reduction is blocked, and in this case, suspect interposition of the ECU tendon. As far as open reduction and internal fixation of the DRUJ, this is indicated if a large ulnar styloid fragment exists, and in this setting, fix the styloid and then immobilize in supination. Now, let's quickly talk about some surgical complications, specifically compartment syndrome, neurovascular injury, refracture, non-union, malunion, and DRUJ subluxation. With respect to compartment syndrome, there's an increased risk with high-energy crush injuries, open fractures, and vascular injuries or coagulopathies. The diagnosis is a clinical one, and remember that pain with passive stretch is the most sensitive exam finding. As far as neurovascular injury, this is uncommon except in type 3 open fractures. Refracture usually occurs following plate removal. There's an increased risk with removing the plate too early, with larger plates, that is 4.5 millimeters, comminuted fractures, and persistent radiographic lucency. As far as prevention, do not remove the plates before 18 months after insertion, which is the amount of time needed for complete primary bone healing. As far as DRUJ subluxation, remember that this is displaced by gravity, the pronator quadratus, or the brachioradialis. Okay, so now that we've gone over the major points about this topic, let's go over a few questions to apply the information and get a sense of how this topic has been tested on past exams. The first question reads, a 33-year-old man sustains blunt trauma to his forearm and presents with a Galeazzi fracture dislocation with marked disruption of the DRUJ. The radial head is visible on radiographs and is not dislocated. Definitive management of this injury involves the following, and the choices are 1. Perform closed reduction of the radius, then immobilize the forearm in a long arm cast and supination. 2. Perform open reduction and internal fixation of the radius, then assess the proximal radial ulnar joint for instability and percutaneously fix the proximal radial ulnar joint if instability persists. 3. Perform open reduction and internal fixation of the radius, then assess the distal radial ulnar joint for instability and reconstruct the distal radial ulnar joint with a looped palmaris longus autograft if instability persists. 4. Perform closed reduction of the radius, then assess the distal radial ulnar joint for instability and perform internal fixation of the radius if instability persists. And 5. Perform open reduction and internal fixation of the radius, then assess the distal radial ulnar joint for instability and percutaneously fix the distal radial ulnar joint if instability persists. The correct answer to this question is 5. Perform open reduction and internal fixation of the radius, then assess the distal radial ulnar joint for instability and percutaneously fix the distal radial ulnar joint if instability persists. So to quickly review, Galeazzi fracture dislocations are fractures of necessity and must be managed surgically. The first step involves surgical fixation of the radial fracture. Next, the distal radial ulnar joint, or DRUJ, needs to be assessed for stability by looking for gross motion of the distal ulna in forearm supination. If DRUJ instability persists, this needs to be addressed with temporary percutaneous pin fixation with 1 or 2 1.2 or 1.6 millimeter K-wires placed transversely proximal to the sigmoid notch. This is followed by immobilization in above-elbow plaster casts in forearm supination for 6 weeks post-op. Anatomic reduction and rigid fixation of the radius alone does not guarantee DRUJ stability. Rettig et al. Found that the anatomical location of the radial shaft fracture could be used to predict DRUJ instability. Fractures within 7.5 centimeters of the mid-articular surface of the distal radius were more likely to require K-wire stabilization, that is in 55% of cases, compared with fractures more than 7.5 centimeters away, which corresponded to 6% of cases. Corumpilius et al. Found that fractures of the distal third were more likely to require DRUJ stabilization, that is 54%, than fractures of the middle third, which made up 12%, and the proximal third, which made up 11%. Giannoulis et al., in a review of Galeazzi fracture dislocations, summarized the options as follows. 1. If the DRUJ is stable, cast in supination for 6 weeks. 2. If the DRUJ is unstable, do a TFCC repair and DRUJ pinning with a K-wire in neutral rotation. 3. If the DRUJ is unstable with an ulnar styloid fracture, do an ORIF of the ulnar styloid with tension band wiring or a lag screw. And 4. In the case of an irreducible DRUJ because of tendon interposition from the ECU, EDC, or EDM, do an open reduction and TFCC repair. Moving on to the next question. A 42-year-old female sustains a fracture of the distal third of the radius. What other anatomic structure is most commonly injured with this fracture? And the choices are 1. Volar long radial lunate ligament, 2. Radio scaphocapitate ligament, 3. Dorsal radial ulnar ligaments, 4. Ligament of testute and quince, and 5. Scapholunate ligament. The correct answer to this question is 3. Dorsal radial ulnar ligaments. So the patient in the question stem has a fracture of the distal third of the radius. This fracture is often associated with dislocation of the distal radial ulnar joint, or DRUJ. When the two injuries are present together, it is commonly referred to as a Galeazzi fracture. DRUJ instability is a result of injury to the volar and dorsal radial ulnar ligaments, which are the primary stabilizers of this joint. Imaging often shows widening of the DRUJ on AP view, dorsal or volar displacement on lateral view, and radial shortening. Treatment of a Galeazzi injury is operative, consisting of open reduction and internal fixation of the radius with a plate and screw construct, followed by intraoperative assessment of the DRUJ alignment. Ward et al. Found in a cadaver study that the most significant increases in translation of the wrist occurred after sectioning the dorsal radial ulnar ligament in pronation and after sectioning the palmar radial ulnar ligament in supination. Moving on to the next question. An otherwise healthy 26-year-old woman is involved in a high-speed motor vehicle accident and sustains a Galeazzi fracture to her dominant right arm. Appropriate treatment of this injury complex includes, and the choices are 1, plating of the radial shaft fracture, then open repair of the triangular fibrocartilage complex, 2, open reduction and internal fixation of the radius and ulna, 3, plating of the radius, then closed reduction and evaluation of the distal radial ulnar joint, or DRUJ, 4, closed reduction of the radius and DRUJ, and 5, plating of the radius and pinning of the DRUJ in pronation. The correct answer to this question is 3, plating of the radius, then closed reduction and evaluation of the distal radial ulnar joint, or DRUJ. So this Galeazzi fracture is an injury that requires surgical treatment in an adult. The algorithm includes anatomic reduction of the radial shaft and closed reduction of the DRUJ with assessment of stability. If the DRUJ remains unstable, supination of the wrist may reduce the DRUJ. If not, either open or closed reduction with pinning is undertaken. The closer the radius fracture is to the DRUJ, the more likely it is to be unstable. Moving on to the next question. A 30-year-old female presents with a Galeazzi fracture, that is a distal third radial shaft fracture with associated distal radial ulnar joint dislocation. She sustains this after falling on her outstretched arm. During operative treatment of the fracture, anatomic reduction of the radius is achieved. However, the surgeon is unable to reduce the distal radial ulnar joint. What structure is most likely impeding the reduction? And the choices are 1, median nerve, 2, flexor carpi radialis, 3, pronator quadratus, 4, extensor carpi ulnaris, and 5, flexor carpi ulnaris. The correct answer to this question is 4, extensor carpi ulnaris. So in this injury, an inability to reduce the distal radial ulnar joint in a closed fashion is most commonly secondary to interposition of the extensor carpi ulnaris tendon. Early recognition of the dislocation of the ulna and the ECU into the DRUJ and their significance may avoid poor results. The study by Biani et al. Reports a case in which both the extensor carpi ulnaris and extensor digiti minimi tendons were displaced on either side of the ulnar head. The study by Paley et al. Reports 2 cases of distal radial ulnar joint disruption and diastasis secondary to distal radial fractures that were associated with displacement of the ulnar styloid and extensor carpi ulnaris into the DRUJ. Both cases had a palpable empty ECU tendon sulcus. And moving on to the final question for this topic, which of the following injuries would require plating of the radius along with closed reduction and evaluation of the distal radial ulnar joint, or DRUJ? And the choices are 1, nightstick fracture, 2, Galeazzi fracture, 3, Montasia fracture, 4, Rolando fracture, and 5, Smith fracture. So the correct answer to this question is 2, Galeazzi fracture. So again, to quickly review, a Galeazzi fracture is a fracture of the distal third of the radius with dislocation of the distal radial ulnar joint. It commonly results from a fall onto an outstretched hand with the forearm in pronation. A Galeazzi fracture is an injury that requires surgical treatment in an adult. The algorithm includes anatomic reduction and fixation of the radial shaft and closed reduction of the DRUJ with assessment of stability. If the DRUJ remains unstable, supination of the wrist may reduce the DRUJ. Otherwise, either open or closed reduction with pinning can be undertaken to stabilize the joint. The closer the radius fracture is to the DRUJ, the more likely it is to be unstable. Acute intervention results in improved outcomes as compared to delayed reconstruction. Redding et al. Retrospectively analyzed 40 patients with Galeazzi fracture dislocations that were treated with open reduction and internal fixation of the radial shaft fracture. They noted that a radial shaft fracture located within 7.5 centimeters of the articular surface resulted in a 55% incidence of DRUJ instability, while 5.6% of those located further from the joint were unstable. They concluded that a high index of suspicion, early recognition, and acute treatment of DRUJ instability will avoid chronic problems in this complex injury. That's all for this review about Galeazzi fractures. Hopefully that was helpful. This is the OrthoBullets podcast, a daily audio review session by OrthoBullets, the free learning and collaboration community for orthopedic surgery education. If you're enjoying the podcast so far, please consider leaving us a 5-star rating and writing us a review on Apple Podcasts. It will help us spread the word and increase our discoverability tremendously. Thanks so much, and we'll see you all tomorrow.